Turn with me in your Bible to that first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And let me read just two or three lines there. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. Before that, there's the usual births. But this was a special birth. The birth of all births. And then we have the words that were spoken to Joseph. And what did the angel say? There's going to be a birth. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hear these scriptures, for if you hear, your soul shall live. These are eternal truths written by God in his book and dictated by God alone. They are as everlasting as the Almighty God himself. The heavens we look upon each day will all be subject one day to eternal removal. And the earth upon which we walk will one day be eternally taken from under our feet and will see it no more. Heaven and earth will pass away. They'll be buried in everlasting oblivion. But he who partook of the eternal first birth will abide forever. And if we are in Christ, we will abide forever. So you can look at out in the world, and you can say, Mr. World, you think you've been here a long time, but I'll be here longer than you. You're going to oblivion, but I'm going to heaven to sing the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his most marvelous light. Turn in your Bible to the first chapter of Hebrews, and at the verse 6. And again, when he bringeth him the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Listen intently to these undecaying and undecayable truths. From the mystery of the eternity past, there comes today, ringing in our ears, the proclamation of everlasting salvation. The word firstborn has a wonderful truth and victory in the history of our race. In the scripture, it is not only the place in birth in the family concerned, but in a figurative sense, firstborn is equivalent to a specially beloved. When you go home, compare Exodus 4 and 21, 4 and 22. With Jeremiah 31 and verse 9. The firstborn in heaven, the Lord Jesus, is the head of the Christian church. The same term is applied to him over in Romans 8:29. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And in Colossians 1 and 5, he is called the firstborn of every creature. We hail him today as our Savior and as our Lord. Oh, the bleeding Lamb! Oh, the bleeding Lamb! He was found worthy. I remember the day when I came to his cross. And I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Don't look so gloom. This sermon will be over in 20 minutes. So don't look so unhappy. Maybe you didn't get anything but cornflakes this morning. Don't eat cornflakes. Get proper porridge like me. And you'll be able to go at 84 and preach the gospel to every creature. I should get a large donation from all porridge makers in manufacturers. I must apply for it. The firstborn meal, whether of man or beast, under the old law, the Mosaic economy, they had to be redeemed. And if they were not redeemed, they were cut off from their place in the Lord's great economy. The firstborn of all clean animals were to be offered and eaten before Jehovah, that is in his sanctuary. Unclean animals all have to be redeemed. And you'll find that both in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The firstling, or first fruits, the first and best of its kind among all creatures or conditions. Isaiah speaks of the firstborn of the poor. Job speaks of the firstborn of death. In regard to time, those who precede the first. Romans 16:5 and 1 Corinthians 16:15 are called the first fruits. But Jesus was the first fruit of all. He alone is the original first. We are told that he's the firstborn among all the kings and monarchies of this world. Listen to the sound of God's trumpet. In Psalm 89 and verse 27, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. There is but one true firstborn, and that one true firstborn is the only begotten of the Father. Of course, Israel, figuratively, is called the firstborn. Ephraim is called the firstborn. David is called the firstborn in Scripture. But they are reflections or representatives in some way or other of the real an only true firstborn, higher than the kings of all the earth. Literally the most high above the kings of the earth, and the most high among all the angels. And we read concerning him, God's mercy will keep for him forevermore. My mercy shall not depart from him. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before me. Your throne, Lord Jesus, your Father has said, is established forever. Your seed will enjoy me forever. Your being will be established forever, and it will be a faithful witness, we read in heaven. In the East, there is a word that is popular among Eastern people. It is death is a black camel which kneels beside every man's gate. So is the verdict of the old Eastern world. The invincible king of terrors will stop at our door one day and will force his passage in. John Donne, wise man that he was, warned his hearers. He said, never seem to know for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. Only through the death of the Lord Jesus can we escape from natural death in this world by escaping from eternal death in the world to come. Some people don't like gospel singing, but I do like gospel singing. And there is a gospel song I love to hear. The market is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming. Hallelujah to that. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. And I'll shut the mouths of all the critics, won't it? When we go up to meet the Lord in the air. And thank God we'll have a suit on us made to perfect size. And it'll be white in the blood of the Lamb. Sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, singing, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And my brother and my sister, you'll sing in tune. And I know what you're saying. Thank God for we've listened to you and you've been out of tune yourself. Well, thank God you can rejoice. We'll all be in tune. The worst singer will be in tune. And nobody has false teeth in heaven. Your teeth will be resurrected. There was an old Reformed Presbyterian minister in Scotland, and when his teeth fell out, he put them all safely away. And when he died, his wife found a little box, and in the box were all his teeth. And he had a little note in, and he said, I want to make it easy for the Lord to give me all my teeth back. So please bury these in the coffin. And she had to go to the coffin and put his teeth in. Well, he didn't need to bother, for the miracle working God will have all our teeth correct, and we will sing the praises of the Lamb. All the railway cars are empty as they rattle down the tracks. In the newsroom, no one watches as machines type pointless facts. All the planes veer off their courses. No one sits at the controls, for the king of all the ages comes to claim our eternal souls. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that Christ has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged, hand in hand, will stand aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad now in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariot rumble. I can see the marching throng, the flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Heaven's choir now assemble, start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King, brethren and sisters in Christ, he's coming. We're nearer the coming of the Lord than any other generation that ever was on earth. He's coming. The King is coming. What a day that was in heaven when Christ was born on earth. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And let all the angels of God worship him. We are darkness. We need the light. The incarnation of Christ alone could give us that light. If we must really have an eternal Father, we must be able to touch him. If we can touch him, he must be divine light. Where, oh, where is the Father's light? Listen. The light of the glorious gospel of God is in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:4. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If we would reflect the light, we must come under the shining of the light of life, which is Christ himself. God is best known in Christ. As the sun can only be seen by the light of the sun itself. You never see the sun and its light, except you looked on it. Oh, what a wonderful look Christ gives us when we look on him who is the light of the world. If we would reflect that light, we must come under the shining of Christ and Christ alone. God is best known in Christ. John Owen, the great colossal of the Puritan writers, said the light of divine wisdom in the greatest works of nature holds not the proportion of the meanest star unto the sun in its full strength. Unto that glory which shines in this mystery of God manifest in flesh and the work that is accomplished thereby. What a leap was taken by Christ to become flesh and to walk the world of his own creation. What a humiliation Christ made when he became to the place of a malefactor and a criminal to hang upon the accursed tree. It was from the greatest height to the lowest pit of hell itself that Jesus came to redeem me. Wonderful Jesus. I say tonight I love him because he first loved me. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad you have seen him? Aren't you glad you're going to live for him and with him for all eternity? My, what a place heaven will be. And you'll not have to apply to the procession committee to have a march. We'll be marching all day around heaven, shouting, and every day seeing something new. You'll learn something new in heaven every day. You'll be a very wise person, and you'll be getting wiser all the time. Let me remind you of these great words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You are not shut out of heaven, sinner. The door of heaven is still wide open. If you come to God today, where you sit in that church pew, you come to Christ. He is the door. The most rotten rejects, thank God, can be saved. I was a rotten reject, but Jesus saved me. Call on Christ now, dear sinner friend, and you will be saved forever. The greatest sinner who ever walked this very world was saved, and he's a long time been in heaven, and yet he called himself by the Holy Ghost the chief of sinners. Well, if God has saved the chief of sinners, he can save you, a lesser sinner. If the chief of sinners is already in heaven, there is blessed hope for all who put their trust in Christ. If Lot could escape the burning of Sodom, you could escape the everlasting burnings of hell. Heed the message which Lot and his daughters heeded. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest ye be consumed. The voice of free grace cries, escape to the mountain. For Adam's lost race, he has opened a fountain. For sin and uncleanness and every transgression, his blood flows so freely in streams of salvation. This fountain's so wide, we may all find salvation. In Jesus' side, there's a plenteous redemption. Though your sins be increased as high as a mountain, his blood can remove them. It streams from that fountain. O Zion, we'll stand when escape to the shore. With palms in our hands, we will praise him the more. will rain the sweet plains on the banks of the river and sing of salvation forever and ever. Jesus Christ had the first birth, the first real birth. He is the firstborn from among the dead. We will be speaking about that tonight. But thank God, the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hand. And thank God, at this moment, my precious Lord Jesus sees of the travail of a soul and he's satisfied. Satisfied. Satisfied with you. Yes, because he loved you to the shedding of the last drop of his blood. Satisfied for you, dear believer, because you're one of his children. You're in the great family of God. Your name's written there on the page, bright and fair. And you can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. I trust no one will leave this meeting having to confess, it's not well with my soul. But may we all be saved by his grace. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for the wonder of Christ. We thank thee for that first Christmas morning when the angels broke the clothes of their invisibility and were seen all over the hills and valleys of Bethlehem. And we're shouting glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill for man. Lord, save every sinner in this meeting. Revive the faith of every saint. And make this one of the happiest Lord's Day we've ever had. For Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen. That's a miserable thing. Amen. Come on, let's say it. Everybody said, amen. Amen, and shouted, hallelujah. Hallelujah.